Krishna's calves were unlimited. We speak of hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions, billions, trillions, tens of trillions, and so on. But when we go further to speak of numbers, impossible for us to count, we are speaking of unlimited numbers. Such unlimited numbers are indicated here by the word asankhyatai. Krishna is unlimited. His potency is unlimited. His cows and calves are unlimited. And his space is unlimited. Therefore, he is described in Bhagavad Gita as Param Brahma. The word Brahma means unlimited, and Krishna is the supreme unlimited Parabrahman. Therefore, we should not consider the statements of this verse to be mythological. They are factual, but inconceivable. Krishna can accommodate an unlimited number of calves in an unlimited measurement of space. This is neither mythological nor false, but if we study Krishna's potency with our limited knowledge, that potency will never be possible to understand. Atasvi Krishna Namadi Na Bhavet Rayam Indriyai Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1-2-109. Our senses cannot perceive how he could keep an unlimited number of calves and cows and have unlimited space in which to do so. But this is answered in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Evam prabho priyanam cha dhamnas cha samayasya cha avichintya prabhu tatpar atrakinchid naturgatam. Sri Sanatana Goswami in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita states that since everything about Krishna is unlimited, nothing is impossible for him. It is in this sense that we have to understand this verse. Along with the cowherd boys and their groups of calves, Krishna came out with an unlimited number of calves assembled, and all the boys began to sport in the forest in a greatly playful spirit. Shukadeva Goswami is narrating to Maharaj Parikshit the most extraordinary childhood pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna. In this particular chapter 12 of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we find that one day Krishna decided by his sweet will to have breakfast prasad on the banks of the holy Jamuna in the picnic. Prabhupada says breakfast as a picnic in the forest. So he blew his buffalo horn and thus called all of his friends. And so many cowherd boys, it is described, hundreds and thousands of cowherd boys came out of their respective homes in Brajbhumi to join Krishna. And each one of them had, and there were hundreds and thousands of groups of calves. In this particular verse that we are reading today, besides the cowherd boys having hundreds and thousands of groups of calves, Krishna came out personally with an unlimited number of calves. Prabhupada explains what unlimited means. Unlimited means there is no possibility of the human mind to count them. There is hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions, tens of millions, hundreds of millions, billions, tens of billions, hundreds of millions, trillions, tens of trillions, hundreds of trillions, quadrillions, tens of quadrillions, hundreds of quadrillions, and I don't think there's a number after that. Is there? Vrishabhanu Prabhu, you're a scientist. Is there any number beyond 100 quadrillion? Here is a PhD scholar of science. He says he doesn't know any number beyond that. So when we speak of unlimited, that means it's way beyond that. Way beyond that. Countless. So the rational mind will naturally think impossible. Either it's an exaggeration, or it's a symbolic number, or it's mythology. Because we have all been to Vrindavan. Vrindavan is, it takes maybe 30 to 40 days to walk all around Vrindavan, stopping at all the holy places, Braj Mandala Parikrama. But in that little space of land, how unlimited calves. And for there to be unlimited calves, every calf has to have a cow as a mother. So how many cows are in Vrindavan? And how many cowherd boys? So the tendency of the mind is to think, how is it possible for them all to live in this little tract of land called Brajbhumi? There's only about 10 million people in Delhi, and it's overcrowded. They have to get their food from so many other places. They have to stack each other up on skyscraper buildings. How is it? Unlimited calves. Not only unlimited calves, but they were not crowded. There was no traffic jams. They were playing. They were running. And there was abundant grass growing for every one of them. There was no competition. How much land do you need for unlimited? That means way beyond 100 quadrillion calves. Lots of grass. That means that Brajbhumi must have been unlimited in size. But yet, it was all contained within what we know as Bhoma Gokula Vrindavan today. Because just some miles away is where Hastinapur Indraprastha was, where the Kurus were living. It's not that all of a sudden the cows started walking through Hastinapur. It's only 90 miles away. Not like that. This is Achintya Shakti. This is Krishna's transcendental potency. He can put unlimited people, unlimited calves, and an unlimited amount of space in a small space. Now, you cannot do it. I cannot do it. Even the best scientists, politicians, or technical companies cannot do it. But Krishna can do anything. If we accept the existence of God, Srila Prabhupada would tell us, we must accept that God has Achintya Shakti. He can do anything, anytime, anywhere, to anyone, anyhow he wants, because he has all potencies. And in Krishna's Braj Leela, it is most charming to the heart, because although he's performing mystical, miraculous demonstrations that even the greatest of the gods cannot hope to ever achieve, he and his little friends are just children doing it in a playful spirit. We read about Mahavishnu, Karuna Daksha Vishnu. He's very unlimited. He's Mahavishnu. Maha, when we talk about Karuna Daksha Vishnu, Maha is something beyond what we know is great. It is unlimitedly great. Similarly, the Maha Mantra, it has unlimited, inconceivable potencies. when he simply exhales, innumerable universes come out from the pores of his body. When he inhales, innumerable universes are destroyed. Not only destroyed, they become utterly unmanifest. They disappear. They enter into his body. And he does all this when he's in yoga nidra. That means he's basically in a resting state, mystic sleep. What can you do when you're asleep? But what Vishnu does, how unlimitedly empowered his potencies are. So when we hear about this Karunodakshay Vishnu, we understand how great is God. And we have this great reverence and honor for Mahavishnu. No one wants to play with Mahavishnu. If you see Mahavishnu, all you can do is bow down and surrender. Yes? Nobody jokes with him. You surrender, you obey. Oh my Lord, please be merciful to me. That's all you can say when you see Mahavishnu. Now here is little Krishna, Gopal Krishna. He is just a small little tiny cowherd boy, playing with friends, joking with his associates, crying and begging his mother and father for mercy when they want to punish him. When Krishna stole butter on Diwali during Kartik, Yashoda Mai understood Krishna stole butter. I went to take care of the milk that was boiling on the stove, and Krishna has broken the butter pot, and he's feeding the contents to monkeys. So she wanted to teach Krishna that this is not the proper behavior for a gentleman-like child. So she picked up stick, and Krishna ran away in fear. Queen Kunti explains, he was running in fear. Fear personified is fearful of Krishna, but he's running in fear. A mere expansion of that little Krishna on Kurukshetra battlefield manifested Virat Rupa. And even the greatest warrior, Arjuna, was fearful. He said, please, Krishna, take away this form that is all devouring. He saw Bhishma, Drona, all these great, great Maharathis just entering into his mouth, being destroyed. And that's only a partial expansion and expansion and expansion and expansion of Krishna. But yet Krishna's running from Yashoda. She's not a Kshatriya. She's a Mataji. But because of her love, he is reciprocating in such a way to increase the intensity of their ras, or their affection. And then when Mother Yashoda captures Krishna, Krishna's thinking that she may punish me. This is very, very, very fearful situation. So he was crying, weeping. The black mascara from his eyes was mixing with his tears and decorating his body in a very wonderful way. And like a criminal who comes before a judge, he began to admit his guilt, hoping for mercy. For those of you who know anything about trials, if you plead not guilty and you're found guilty, you will get punished very severely. Not only because of the guilt of what you've done, but because of the dishonesty in which you're trying to lie right before the judge, which is actually humiliating for the judge, this person just lying to him. And not only that, but you've taken vows before the God of all religions before you go to the court. So if you're guilty and you want mercy, what you do is you plead guilty. That's what any good lawyer will tell you. Plead guilty. Say, I'm guilty. I did it. Please, judge. Please, jury. Have mercy on me. I won't do it again. And then they'll give some mercy, perhaps. So Krishna, he told Yashodamai, I did it. I did steal the butter. But please, please don't hit me. Don't punish me. So this is Krishna. Little baby Krishna. And here he's going out to play with his friends. And friends, the gopas, they are not thinking Krishna to be the Lord. If Mahavishnu was laying in front of the gopas, they would probably all be bowing down and chanting Vedic prayers to him. But here is the source of Mahavishnu. We read in Srimad Bhagavatam how even Mahavishnu stole those Brahmins' children just because he wanted to have darshan and worship his origin, Krishna. And that's the Krishna of Dwarka. The Krishna of Vrindavan is even more complete and enriched with transcendental qualities than the Krishna of Vasudev or Pajumana of Dwarka. So, this little Krishna with gopas is relating in such a way that they simply think that Krishna is our friend. Sometimes when some great danger comes, they will call out to Krishna. And at other times they have some understanding that he's God. But it has very little significance because their love for Krishna, due to his beautiful form, his charming pastimes, his loving dealings with them, is so unlimitedly sweet that the fact that he is the Supreme Absolute Truth, the controller of all controllers, is not very important. It is a subordinate conception. Here gopas are just playing with Krishna, dancing with Krishna, making musical sounds with Krishna, roaming through the forest. Lord Brahma was bewildered. Little later we find Lord Brahma sees that Krishna's asking gopas when they're sitting for their picnic to take prasad that is packed by Mother Yashoda and the other gopis. Krishna wants to taste the nectar of all the gopis cooking. What to speak of the remnants of his own devotees. So after the gopas are eating their laddus and other types of prasad, Krishna is saying, let me taste. And because they want to please Krishna, they're taking bites of their food and giving it to Krishna, and Krishna is eating. And Krishna is taking bites of his food and giving it to the gopas, and they're eating. Now even amongst ordinary devotees, this is considered something very informal, to say the least. If I say to Narada Maharaj, please give me the remnants of your food, he may not. If I say to Bhakta, what is his name? Bhakta Ashish, please give me your remnants. Eat your laddu and give me the other half. He would probably say, no, Maharaj, I cannot do like that. There's some formality amongst each other we call Prabhu. But here is the Supreme Absolute Truth, the personality of Godhead, taking, his cowherd boys are taking food right out of their mouth and giving to him because it pleases him. Chaitanya Charitamrita explains where there is pure affection, rules and regulations have very little relevance. So Vrindavan is the land of the purest, most intimate, confidential, spontaneous affection. In fact, even in the spiritual world, where there are unlimited Vaikuntha planets, Only in Krishna Loka, in that section of Krishna Loka called Goloka Vrindava, is such pure, unparalleled affection exchanged between Krishna and his devotees. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give us entrance into that abode. That is his great mercy. Through the pure chanting of the holy names. What is the nature of the Gopa's love? The Brijvasis are seeing that Krishna is performing what no one else could do. In the little track of Braj Bhumi is contained unlimited amounts of space. In the whole planet Earth, there's no space for such unlimited amount of calves. What to speak of India? What to speak of Uttar Pradesh? What to speak of District Mathura? What to speak of Vrindavan? Unlimited space he puts in this little Vrindavan. With unlimited cows. Countless. And that's just Krishna's herd. And the other boys, there's hundreds and thousands of other herds. So the boys are seeing this. But yet, it doesn't come to their attention that he must be God. They're just thinking, Krishna's just so wonderful. He can do everything and anything. He's our friend. Please, let us play, let us dance, let us wrestle. And how Krishna allows his friends to defeat him in wrestling. This is opulence. This is opulence of renunciation. You're the all-powerful, and you let some little boy beat you. Just to give pleasure to that little boy. And then you know Sukadeva Goswami is going to speak right in Bhagavatam, in the Acharyas, for the rest of eternity that you lost. This is renunciation. The Indian cricket team, 20 years ago they lost, nobody remembers. They lost this year. Now all of India remembers. But in 100 years, nobody will remember. But Krishna lost to Sri Rama. 5,000 years ago, we're still talking about it. And Vyasadeva wrote, he's the literary incarnation. He wrote what Krishna told him to write. So this is Krishna's renunciation. Whether he wins or loses, he's worshipable. How many times when you're a little child did you pass urine? Who talks about it now? It's only 20, 30, 40, 50 years later. Krishna passed urine on the gopis' floors 5,000 years ago. We're still weeping and crying and chanting and dancing when we hear this story. That is Krishna. He's the supreme, absolute, unlimited personality of Godhead. If you steal, you're condemned by society. All moral, religious people think this is very bad. But Krishna's Makanchora. He's Gopi Vasanohara. Not only did he steal butter, but he stole Gopi's clothes at Chirghat. But yet, even the most moral, highly pious, self-controlled of all Paramhamsas, they are celebrating every day the glories of Krishna, who is Makanchora, Gopi Vasanuhara. Krishna's opulences are unlimited. But in Vrindavan, he displays such unlimited opulences in such a sweet and spontaneous way that his devotees don't even see it as opulences. Not in the mood of Aishwarya Bhav. They just see that Krishna is most wonderful. So here we find a great dilemma. How the cowherd boys, they're seeing Krishna performing such unlimited exhibitions of mystic powers, as Yogeshwara. And yet, they just see it as part of their daily life playing with Krishna. Because they have love. But the greatest scientists, the greatest sociologists, when they read these pastimes, it's incomprehensible. It's impossible. They cannot even accept it. It has to be mythology. That which is beyond possibility of human conception, they consider must be fiction. That these pastimes, they are being described in such a way to give us certain moral instructions. But they can't actually be real. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochaneta. One cannot understand Krishna except through bhakti. Bhaktya tvananirya shakyas aham evam vidorajana yatam drastam chatatvaina praveshtam chaparantapa. Krishna said, it is only by undivided devotion that I can be understood as I am. Bhaktosi me shakatyati rahasyam yedantam. If you are Krishna's friend and his devotee, then all these things can be understood within your heart. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami describes very, very clearly that the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be understood by our intelligence. No academic capacity can give us entrance into this lila. We can only understand when the Lord gives us His special mercy. By His mercy we can understand who He is and what is His lila. Only by His mercy can we understand the glories of His holy name. And how to achieve His mercy? Only through devotional service. This is the glory and power of devotional service. We can understand what is incomprehensible. It is said in Shastra that you can count, somehow or other, you may be able to count every grain of sand on earth and multiply that by every star in the sky. But if you add it all together, it doesn't equal the amount of pastimes Krishna performs in one day. Hare Krishna. Is that possible? Yes, for Krishna everything is possible. Is it possible for us to actually understand it? Right now we say we understand it. But our understanding is theoretical. Because we have attained some bit of mercy, we're able to say, yes, it's true. Because I have faith, it must be true. If you don't have that mercy, you can't even actually believe that. But when we are inundated with the infinitely causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we can actually not only believe it with faith, but it becomes a reality in our life. The cowherd boys, we're right now just thinking in terms of believing with faith in the unlimited potency of the Lord in a theoretical way and accepting, yes, it must be true. But the cowherd boys, they're living in it. They're actually seeing the unlimited calves. They're playing with the unlimited calves. And they see Krishna just, just with one raising of his eyebrow or with one glance or with one word or one note of his flute, all these unlimited calves go into ecstasy. And do anything he wants. They don't believe in it. They don't theoretically accept it on the basis of philosophical conviction. They're actually living in it. They're experiencing it. They're part of it. That is Krishna consciousness.
That is what we are all striving to achieve in our life.
That is what His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada is trying to give us. Not just faith, but actual entrance into the unlimited, inconceivable, loving pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan. Now, if the chairman of scientific research from Bombay University were to approach Subal or Sridhama or Stoka Krishna and say, this is impossible, that Krishna could have unlimited space and unlimited cowherd boys in Vrindavan. I know, I measured Vrindavan. I saw the geographical maps. What would they do? They wouldn't even bother arguing with him. They would just consider, this man is very unfortunate. He's just puna puna charapata charavanana. He's just chewing the chewed in this material universe. But Vrindavan is the land of transcendental experience, where Krishna's inconceivable, unlimited potencies, they don't even bring about a sense of reverence. In Vrindavan, every time Krishna does something wonderful, they only increase our love. When Krishna was, he sucked the poison and the life out of Putana, massive, massive Rakshasi. They saw him perform this feat. They saw him drag down the great unconquerable demon Trinavarta. And yet they were thinking that it must be because of our pious activities and because of our charity to the Brahmins and growing banyan trees that God has protected our little boy Krishna. And when Nanda Maharaj told the gopas after Govardhan Leela that actually Garga Muni told me these things about Krishna, that he's actually Lord Narayan, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They were thinking, very nice, very nice. We thought it must be something like this. But within minutes after that, it was just by looking at Krishna, they're parental affection for him were so great, they could no longer see him as Narayan. It was essentially forgotten. Because in Vrindavan, whatever Krishna does, it only increases the intimacy of love. And actually, it is only that type of love that can understand Krishna as he is. Naham prakasya saravasya yogamaya samapata mudhoyam nabijanati loko mamajamabhyayam. The foolish and unintelligent, they cannot understand Krishna as he is. He personally covers them by his potency of yogamaya. They cannot understand his unlimited, inconceivable existence. But somehow or other, because you have been touched by the mercy of Krishna through his very pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada, and his servants, you are able to hear these things without being disturbed. You're able to appreciate them and try to appreciate them more. And gradually, through the process of bhakti, we are trying to please Krishna. And the more we receive his mercy, the more we can understand, the more we can believe. And more mercy comes, we gradually not only believe, not only understand, but realize. And then when more mercy comes, we not only realize, but we enter into the unlimited existence of Krishna's transcendental pastime. Srila Prabhupada is so nicely explaining the inconceivable will of the Lord. And actually that same inconceivable power of the Lord is all around us within this material creation. You know that wonderful story of when Narada Muni went to the Brahmin and the cobbler. To summarize, the Brahmin said, ask Vishnu, when you see him, when I will be allowed to go back to the spiritual world. This Brahman was a very, very learned, famous guru of society. And Cobbler was just very simple. No one knew about him, no one cared about him, and if people saw him, there was no respect. Oh, Narada, I don't deserve to ever get any mercy, but please ask if there's a chance I'll ever go back to the spiritual world. So Vishnu told Narada, when the Brahman asks you what I said, tell him after millions and millions of births. When the cobbler asks you, tell him in this very life. Narada Muni himself was wondering, how is this possible? This Brahman is such a learned, saintly guru, and the cobbler is nothing socially. Narayan knew his heart. He said, when they ask you what I was doing when you saw me, tell them that I was putting an elephant through the eye of a needle. So Narada Muni surrendered his soul. He saw the Brahman, when am I going back to the spiritual world? Narada said, Vishnu said it will be after millions and millions of births. For the Brahman, this is a terrible insult. Millions of births. I'm a Brahman by caste, look. String. How many slokas I know? I know so many slokas. I know entire books of slokas. And look at how many people are touching my feet and asking me to do pujas for them. For their salvation. You're a bogus person. I don't believe you. If you saw Vishnu, what was he doing? He was threading an elephant through the eye of a needle. And the Brahmin said, this is nonsense. This is complete nonsense. Get out. This is bogus, threading an elephant through the eye of a needle. So, most likely Narada realized why Vishnu didn't want him to come for millions of births. He was proud. No material acquisition can qualify us for the mercy of the Lord. However much money you have, however much education you have, however many talents you have, however much fame and prestige and power you have, all of that cannot give you any qualification to get the mercy of Krishna. Only by humility and devotion. So Narada went to Cobbler. Cobbler said, oh Narada, did you see Lord Vishnu? Will I ever, ever, ever get the chance to become his servant in the spiritual world? Narada said, in this very life. He was so grateful. I don't deserve. How is this possible? He's so merciful. He's so merciful. He's causelessly merciful. What was he doing? Please tell me more. He was threading an elephant through the eye of a needle. Oh, my Lord is so wonderful. Threading an elephant through an eye of a needle. Jai Narayan, Jai Narayan. What is it? Narada said, you believe this story? Threading an elephant is this big and an eye of a needle is this big? He said, my Lord could do anything. He's inconceivable. He said, we're sitting under this banyan tree. You see how big this banyan tree is? You see all those fruits in the banyan tree? Every fruit has so many seeds. And within each and every tiny little seed, my Lord has put another banyan tree. This is a miracle. Can the scientists put a banyan tree into a seed? Can they even explain how it works in a reasonable way that actually can convince our intelligence? Krishna has put banyan tree in a little seed. We're eating fruits and we're spitting out seeds. But are we aware that in each seed there's an orange tree, there's a mango tree? Potentially. That is Krishna.
He's performing the most incredible mystical miracles all around us, 24 hours a day. Every time a sun ray touches us, it's an inconceivable miracle.
How is Krishna balancing the sun in that one place, in all the planets in their orbits? If any of the planets go a little bit too close or a little too far, they'll either freeze to death or burn to death. But Krishna's keeping everything so perfectly orchestrated. Inconceivable, unlimited miracles, even in this material world. What to speak of in the spiritual world? So we read in the holy scriptures, in Dwarka, if you read how many servants, how many inhabitants were on that little island, it was millions. There were millions of times more people in Dwarka than the entire population. And everyone's crying about population explosions and birth control and family planning. There was no family planning in Dwarka. Not only was there no family planning, there was quadrillions of people living in Dwarka on that little island, which is just off the coast of Gujarat. One billion.
But actually, if you read, there's
so many. Huge numbers. And yet, in Bombay, there's 10 million. People have to go to the toilets on the side of the road all the time because there's no proper sanitation or plumbing. People are stacked up in skyscrapers. And there's traffic jams anywhere. The trains are all overcrowded. You think Dwarka was like that? Billion people on an island. And all we read about is beautiful parks and lakes and peacocks and trees. And everyone's dressed very beautifully. Krishna can do anything and everything. And that is why we worship Krishna. Srila Prabhupada explained that people today, they claim themselves to be God, and their followers claim themselves to be God. Because they could create some gold, or create some ashes, or read your mind, or tell you what you will do tomorrow, or what you did yesterday, or tell you what your father's name was, and what grades you got in your class in sixth standard. That person must be God. Srila Prabhupada explains that actually God does not do such tiny little things when he comes to the earth. He does like this. He creates unlimited space, unlimited cows and calves. He manifests his universal form. He does what no one else can do. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had and lions and tigers and manifested in universal form. This is God. So these are wonderful, wonderful narrations of Krishna's sweet, beautiful childhood pastimes. And the more deeply we try to understand them according to the vision of Srila Prabhupada, his purports, the great acharyas, the deeper and more divinely enriched our appreciation, our devotion will become. Thank you very much.